Hey guys, just a little note from me before we start the episode. This episode is half recorded in the past and half recorded in the present. So the first half was recorded 6 weeks ago when my sister came to visit me. And then the second half we recorded over FaceTime yesterday. So the first half is before Corona, BC, and for that reason, we sound joyful, we sound happy, we are in the same room, we have freedom. But yeah, we're just talking about Pride, and Emily is the host for this episode. She's the guest host. Hello, and welcome back to a special episode of The Bisexual Agenda. I'm your guest host, Baby Scales. I'm Kit's sister and her adoptive child and also protege. If you want to know what I look like, then just imagine Kit, then dye her hair blonde and make her put on like 2 stones. And that is exactly what I look like.
They don't even know what I look like.
Well, yeah, but some of them do.
Some of them do.
Okay, so just remember to like and subscribe to the podcast and follow the podcast on Instagram at the Bisexual Agenda Pod. And feel free not to follow my Finsta, which is just for me shitposting about how horny and depressed I am. That's only for my closest friends, so don't follow that.
That's good.
But yeah, leave a review because Kit loves them. I still haven't left a review because I'm a terrible sister, but I just can't put into words the magic of the podcast. So let's get on with the episode. We're going to start off with a game. This is inspired by Food for Thought, one of our favourite gay podcasts. They always have a game at the start and it just really is fun. So today we're going to be playing a game that I invented. It's called Straight to Gay with a 2 instead of a 2.
Okay, nice.
And I'm going to give you a list of people, characters and stuff, and you have to rank them in order, straightest to most gay. Are you ready?
Oh, okay. I feel like I'm going to need a paper and pen.
It's fine. I'll give you the first one because I personally think this is very easy.
Okay.
Carrie, Samantha, Charlotte, and Miranda.
Okay, I get it.
Okay. I can tell you if, after you've done it, whether I put the same.
Okay. Most gay is Miranda because the actress is gay in real life and she should have been a lesbian. She's a power lesbian. Yeah,
forcing her to fuck Steve was a crime.
Steve looks like a frog man.
He looks like a weasel turned into a man.
He is like the nicest boyfriend that they have on the show.
Harry's the nicest boyfriend.
No, I like Chip.
Oh my god.
What's his name?
He's only in it for like...
Not Chip. The blonde guy that Samantha goes out with for ages.
Oh.
Chad Smith? Smith? No. Jared?
Smith. His name is Smith. I love Smith. Actually, okay. No. Smith is the best because he's also really hot, whereas Steve and Harry are like just basic.
Okay. Men. So yeah, Miranda's the gayest. And then I would say Samantha is bisexual in the show, but they basically say that she isn't.
Yeah.
She's a lesbian for like 2 episodes instead.
I love that because they have that big fight and the girlfriend starts like smashing plates. I'm just like, wow, big gay drama.
And then I like can't remember any of their names without seeing them.
Carrie and Charlotte.
Okay, yes. Charlotte is the third most gay.
Yeah.
Because she does that thing where she infiltrates that like lesbian mafia art gallery group.
Yeah. Also, I just feel like her whole vibe is like, especially all the bits with Bunny, for some reason, that's just like really gay.
Okay. And then Carrie is the most straight person ever to be invented.
Yeah. Okay, well, we agree for that. This is my personal favourite. Homer, Marge, Bart, Lisa and Maggie.
Okay, Lisa is the most gay.
Interesting.
Because, you know, on like the intros, they have her with like girlfriends sometimes.
Oh. She plays the saxophone, so I feel like that's quite gay and strong.
She's a nerd, she loves the environment, she's an outcast at school, she has family angst because no one understands
her. She has
her.
A lot of angst. I just watched one where she, like, got her film about her family got put into, like, Sundance, and everyone was like, this is a horrible family, and she was like, and then Marge got really pissed off at her for, like, exposing how bad the family was. Basically, yeah, she's just, like,
angst.
Yikes.
Then I'd say Marge. She has that whole episode where she basically runs off with that woman.
Oh.
Also, when she, I like it when she uses a sewing machine to make loads of outfits out of that Chanel suit.
I like the episode where she wears, like, a suit with, like, short pants to, like, a garden party.
Mm.
Yeah, I like that.
Yep. And then I'd say Bart. I think Bart could be, like, bisexual, chaotic energy.
I agree.
I don't want to sexualize a baby. Maggie has to be last.
I just feel like Maggie has to be higher up because she shoots Mr. Burns in the episode where they're like, who shot Mr. Burns? And that is, like, the most, like, anti-capitalist regime of all time. She's, like, a revolutionary in the making.
Okay, I think Homer has to be... Homer and Maggie draw for me.
Dissing Maggie. I don't like it.
I like Maggie, but it freaks me out that none of them ever age and she's always a baby for, like, 10 years. But she can, like, fully talk. I don't think I ever saw an episode where she talks.
She, like, is the equivalent to Gromit. Like, I feel like they're the same character. They're just, like, fed off of everyone's bullshit. Okay, now we're doing the Spice Girls. Baby, scary, sporty, posh, and ginger.
I'm finding it hard.
Should I tell you?
Should I do least to best? I think Baby Spice is the least gay.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think Posh Spice is the least gay. No, Ginger Spice. Ginger Spice, I think, is the least gay.
I need to, like, get a picture of them up on my laptop.
Ginger Spice is the one who wore that, like, ugly Union Jack dress.
Right. Google, come through. Ah, yes, this picture's good. Okay, so for me, it's bottom to top. It's going baby, ginger, posh, sporty, scary.
Okay, I kind of agree with that. I think baby should go a bit higher up. But that's just because I went to a, like, 90s party once, and there was, like, five babies, and I was one of the babies.
Mm. Okay,
moving on.
Okay.
To another incredible band. S Club 7. Rachel, Joe, Hannah, Tina, Bradley, and John. We're not involving Paul because he's a wetback. And he would definitely be the most straight and shit.
Okay. Least Rachel.
Yeah, it has to be Rachel. Rachel was just... Clearly they were like, let's find someone who looks like Jennifer Aniston in Friends. And she just happened to be called Rachel. It was perfect.
True. Then it's Tina.
Interesting.
Unfortunately, I like Tina.
I like Tina, but she's not really gay.
Then it's Bradley.
Oh.
I love Bradley, but I think he's straight.
Really? I just love the bit in the movie where he, like, gets with all the clones.
I really can't. I have no memories. I'm sorry. God. And everyone then it's gonna be the blonde man.
John?
John?
I would rate John lower than that.
He's looking like gay in this picture.
He does have, like, a bowl cut, a blonde bowl cut.
He has frosted tips.
Okay. Maybe he is in the correct place.
Whoa. Okay, this has good
pictures. Now you've just got Joe and Hannah left. I feel this is very obvious.
Okay, and then Hannah is second.
Yep.
I think she's bi, and then Joe is top.
Yep. And also a top as well.
I need to save this picture. I don't know how.
Make it your screensaver right now.
Save image.
Okay, this is the penultimate category.
Okay.
The Queer Eye Boys. So that's Bobby, Tan, Jonathan, Karamo, and Anthony. And I have read every single book that they've ever published. I want Bobby to write a book because I've read everyone else's. And I would thoroughly suggest Anthony's cookbook. If you, like, want a cookbook for when you want to do, like, a little soiree and you need some ideas.
Mm.
And also the sheer number of pictures of him in that book. Sometimes there'll just be a recipe and instead of the picture of the food, it'll just be Anthony doing something completely unrelated. So, yeah, it's kind of half a pin-up catalogue and half recipes.
Least gay Bobby.
Yeah. He's just too practical.
For a start.
Yeah.
But I like him. I think he's underrated and makes me sad when people don't like Bobby. Him.
I didn't like him in the first series, but... And I didn't like Tan, and now I'm like, yeah.
I kind of don't like Tan that much, because I feel like he comments too much about, like, what they want their body to look like.
Yeah.
I agree.
And, like, when he dresses the women, I don't think he does that much of a good job. Apart from the one of the, like, Japan ones with
that
girl. Yeah,
I think when he's, like, doesn't think that their style is interesting, then he kind of just kind of...
When he put that woman in the peplum, that was when I was like, I don't trust you. We hate peplums.
But I did read his book, and it was really good. It was very cute.
Then it's gonna be Karamo.
Okay, nice.
And then it's gonna be...
I think, like, someone straight could meet him and not know he was
People
gay.
Definitely wouldn't know.
Yeah, they'd just be like, wow, look at this very well-groomed straight man.
Yeah. And then Tan.
Yeah.
And then Anthony, and then Jonathan.
Nice. Okay.
Jonathan is wearing, like, leopard print
platform probably would heels. Put Tan above Anthony.
I just think Anthony is quite gay because he, like, has mum issues and he also wears eyeliner quite a lot.
He does wear eyeliner.
And he also cries silently in every episode.
He cries the same way that I cry. It's just like, you hope no one notices that your tears
Isn't
are streaming
he? Oh, he's
down
a Pisces,
your face.
Yeah.
He is a Pisces, yeah. But also he's the only one of them who, like, says that he doesn't like it when the, like, contestants, or whatever you call them, are, like, five gay guys because he doesn't identify as gay.
What does he identify
as? I don't know if he's properly said, but he basically was like, I've, like, been in relationships with women, I've been in love with women, and I don't like it when everyone calls me gay. So, peeps, just think about that.
Okay.
Next time you look at Anthony.
Okay.
Are you good
I'm just
with
looking
your decision?
At really cute pictures of them now.
They're so cute. I love them.
Yeah, love
Jonathan's memoir is probably the best out of all the ones I've read. But it also is really sad.
I want to read it, but I also would just be too sad because he's such a happy person. I'm just
yeah,
like,
it's kind of crazy because
he's smiling
he's
through
like,
the pain.
All of the time, he's like, I was nervous to write this book because I didn't want people to think I was like lying about who I was because like no one knows all this stuff about me. But then you're like, babes. And he's like, I worried that no one would love me once they knew the true me. And I was like, sobbing, please. Jonathan, I could know that you like murdered someone in cold blood and I'd be like, oh, he's doing his best job, you know. Okay, the last category is David, Alexis, Moira, Johnny, and an extra bonus for Stevie because I feel like she's an adopted member of the family. This is Schitt's Creek for anyone who hasn't watched Schitt's Creek. It's the best, and I feel like you have to get through the first series because it's not as amazing.
It gets better.
Yeah.
But I think it's because maybe they had less creative freedom on the first season.
Yeah. Also, they kind of had to set up everyone. Like, they are a bit of a... Like, the whole family are kind of assholes at the start of the show.
Basically, the plot is some really rich people lose all their money, and the only thing they have left remaining to them is a town called Schitt's Creek that they bought as a joke, and they have to move into a motel there
and
adjust
to normal
life.
Their life. But yeah, it's the best. It's so wholesome.
Oh my god. Basically, everyone's gay apart from Johnny.
Yeah. And I feel like Johnny is gay at the same time.
Moira gets top for her, like, avant-garde look and the fact that she hates children.
She hates children. She hates Roland, who is, like, the most straight character.
And then it's David.
David is the
second.
Okay, I thought you were going from the other way around.
No,
like,
David's second, then Stevie, and I think she's bi in real life.
I thought she was a lesbian, but
oh,
I'm
maybe
not
she
sure.
is a lesbian.
I'm not sure.
She wears a lot of plaid in the show.
She does.
Love that. And Alexis?
Yeah.
And then Johnny.
But I feel like all of them are a whole step above any gay characters in any other show.
Yeah, true.
They're just gay. And that's the facts.
Everyone
Them's
is
the
gay.
Facts. Where would you put Patrick in that?
Patrick is actually bottom.
Oh.
Of all.
He is like a corporate gay, kind of.
He's a business advisor.
Yeah.
And he wears
He loves accounting.
Straight clothing.
He does.
Okay.
Cool. That's
did
the
I
end
win
of the
game?
You did very well. I think we had the similar, apart from the whole Maggie business, which...
I just don't really remember Simpsons
Whereas
that well.
I deeply connect to Maggie.
That's fair.
I'm a Maggie and a Mo.
Yeah, I don't really get that.
This is the what two Simpsons characters are you combined, and I am a Maggie and a Mo, and no one gets that. It would have been easy for me to be like, I'm a Lisa and a Milhouse. No, I'm a Maggie and a Mo. I mean, I would love to be a Lisa, but I think people are too...
I think I am a Lisa.
Everyone thinks they're a Lisa, though.
But I think I actually am.
I don't think I'm, like, outspoken enough. I don't do, like, meetings in front of the town hall being like, bitch, clean up your act. For this next section, the main course, I feel like I'm just doing a piece of art this time. We're gonna be planning our dream pride, and I have given Kit like some time to do this, but she said she's not that prepared, but
I'm quite prepared.
Yeah, I don't know what yours is and you don't know what mine is. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see if we've got anything in common with our dream
That's
pride.
That's true.
And just an FYI, this pride is allowed to, like, there's no barriers to what we could achieve. There's no financial barriers, and Kit said she's got something that, like, defies the physical laws of gravity or something, but this is a utopia, a utopian pride, rather than, like, a normal one.
I think I need to say that I've only been to one pride.
I've never been to a pride event
because I hate crowds.
Yes.
And I also hate the summer, and I hate people seeing my body.
I love summer. And
I hate being too hot.
I wanted to go to Bristol Pride, but no one would
and
go with
me. And I
didn't
like day drinking. I did have a really good time at this Pride, though. Like, me and Faster and Olivia went to Wharf, and there was, like, a day party.
Yeah.
And I just stayed for the day, and then I went home.
Yeah, no one should be offended by what we plan our Pride to be.
Who's going first?
You can.
I think I'll go first, although I'm going to start stealing all of your ideas.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it's going to be a week long, and everyone gets the week off work, and they get fully paid.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Reparations.
And it's going to have... I've planned it in daytime events, and then I have evening events.
Yeah, same.
Okay, so my daytime events, I'm having a Love Yourself workshop with Jonathan Van Ness.
Oh my goodness, stop. I've got number 3, self-love with Jonathan Van Ness in a tent. I'm glad we both thought that was important.
I really want Jonathan Van Ness to do, like, an intimate workshop telling people how to, like, flourish and live their best life.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, compliment everyone, like, goes around complimenting everyone.
Yeah, I want people to do... I want... You know, at festivals, sometimes they have those trees where you, like, put your aspirations. I want people to put, like, something good about themselves on the tree.
And then I don't know if I want this to be a live show or just broadcast for that week, but I want a queer Great British Bake Off. Mel and Sue reunited.
Thank you.
And then I don't know who the judges would be.
At the end, do they just kill Paul Hollywood?
Paul Hollywood isn't invited, and they could maybe have him in, like, a cage somewhere. They could have a running joke where he tried to, like, break into the studio and he gets escorted out.
Yeah, I want him to feel, like, humiliated by this event.
Or one of them is to, like, design the grossest cake for Paul to eat.
Yeah, that would be good.
Because I love it. I love that show. And it would just have, like, cool gay celebrities on it and normal gay people.
Have you seen any of Junior Bake Off? It's really good. It has the... Because Paul Hollywood isn't on it. It's Liam and Prue.
Oh, yeah,
and
I love
it's
Liam.
Just lovely. Like, they...
Oh, maybe Ruby. Ruby Tando. She could be a judge. And then some of the gay chef.
What's his name?
Michelle Rue.
I do really fancy Michelle Rue. It's kind of a problem. Michelle Rue Jr. No, the guy from Nadia's year.
Tamal.
I love his Twitter.
Tamal, Nadia, and Ruby, they can be the judges. And Mel and Sue will be the hosts.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
So that will be live at my festival,
streaming.
And it will be on TV.
And will you have a meet and greet afterwards?
Yeah, with Mel and Sue.
Yeah, nice.
And then they will share their, like, secrets about Paul.
Okay, cool. I love that.
Okay, and then I have a Roxane Gay writing workshop, which is write a letter to your ex or nemesis.
I love that.
Because she has a nemesis on Twitter, and she's always talking about her, and I really want to know who
Twitter,
it is.
I just love when she replies to someone so scathingly that you're like, imagine thinking you could criticize Roxane Gay and get away with it. Yes. Mortal being.
I think that would be fun.
That's really cool. I didn't think of any writing things.
And
I would have to have Maggie Nelson, though.
I have a film screening in a very comfy cinema, and it's doing I guess it could be 3 nights. So we're doing Desert Hearts, Moonlight for the Sad Day. Maybe that could be on the full moon. And Booksmart, because I really want to see that,
Booksmart.
And I haven't seen
it. Have you not seen it yet?
No, I think they're doing it at the Queer Film Festival, though, so I can finally see
it. I love it. It's great.
and then we're having an arts and craft party, print your own t-shirt or tote bag, make pin badges, temporary tattoos, clothes swap, art sale.
Wow,
local queer artists will sell all their stuff.
I love, you know, at Bristol Zoo we used to do the badge making thing. Do you remember that?
I remember it. You would color in a little like
picture of a tiger and then they would make it into badge.
I love badge making.
I love those badge machines. I might buy one.
Yeah.
How much are those?
I think they're kind of expensive, like £50.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. I want a label maker too. I basically want a wedding registry and I just want people to buy me the stuff.
And it's sponsored by the Herb Library.
The Herb Library? Have you mentioned the Herb Library before?
No.
Okay, so in the summer, in September, me and Kit went to... Someone's coming to your door. Should we pause it?
No, it's just a person giving us a leaflet.
So me and Kit went to Bali in September. And basically every day we went to this place called the Herb Library and it had the most... delicious smoothies and like juices and
really healthy delicious
it was healthy
food.
But it was wasn't all really all delicious.
Vegetarian, but they had loads of vegetarian options. It had this Tex-Mex bowl that I really liked,
and it had this chili dip with basically everything, and they gave you a free
tiny starter like
every day.
Oh my god.
Yeah, basically we love the Herb Library, and we also had a favorite waitress and she knew us and she gave us like discounts, and on the last day we basically spent the whole day there and I was feeling really ill and we just played Uno, and then she arrived for her shift and her face was like, I've never seen such a smile. It basically made my life.
I love her. Yeah, and they have can a juice called Healthy and Beautiful that literally resurrects you from the grave.
I was basically throwing up for like 2 days, and then we went and I had 25 herb healing rice and Healthy and Beautiful, and then I was fine.
So they're gonna sponsor it, so everyone's gonna be like hydrated, healthy,
delicious,
and everyone's gonna be giving.
I miss dragon fruit. I kept having dragon fruit things there.
It was just really delish.
Yeah.
So that's the day.
Nice.
Evening events. I have a cabaret show with Dita Von Teese and Violet Chachki.
Wow.
And they want them to be in that.
I feel like everyone's
giant
getting way too horny
glass.
Though.
Are you gonna have? That's it. Okay.
How are you gonna like deal with that?
And then I have a Studio 54 style disco with a light up floor.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And then I have a daytime music festival, and this is where it breaks reality, okay? So the people I want at the festival are just everyone I want to see
are
live.
Are they dead people? Okay.
Yeah, so I want Kim Petras, Robin.
Nice. Janelle everyone Monáe. Will just be crying.
Yeah, it's a really sad music festival. Janelle Monáe, Fiona Apple, King Princess, Amy Winehouse... Rest in peace.
Oh.
Ari Lennox. And then Beyonce, who comes out as bisexual live on stage. And then she does an all-exclusive episode with the bisexual agenda. It's our first live show.
Wow. And it's with Beyonce. You can't really get much higher than that. She basically never does interviews.
Yeah.
Wow, I love it. That sounds like a right...
I didn't invite Rihanna. I think it's because I know she's too not powerful. Good at performing live.
Excuse me? Have you not seen when she did the Victoria's Secret show? Even though we hate Victoria's Secret, but still.
All I saw was the walk. I didn't see her singing.
It was really good.
Okay. Well, I love Rihanna, but I don't know if she's queer and I didn't invite her.
She could have, like, an intimate set where she just is high and singing in a tent.
I could have just, like, a vape.
You could,
a
you
vape
could have,
and
like, a
weed stool that is Rihanna.
Vape and weed stool. No, you should have a bit where Rihanna announces that the Savage X Fenty line is extending their sizes to actually incorporate
and
everyone.
And then not doing that thing where they, like, steal your money every month.
Yeah, I love it. I didn't think of any food.
And maybe Temple Donuts. They can do the iced coffee because I really like that.
Oh, those iced coffees are good.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, please follow my ice coffee account. It's called baby_dot_ice. We rate ice coffees, and the Temple one in Leeds is
it's amazing.
A 9.5.
Yeah, cool. That's all I could think of. Basically, I don't really like parties or crowds, so I was trying to think of like small, low-key events that I would enjoy.
Nice. Mine isn't in order of the day, but my number one is Janelle Monáe. So I feel like we really got on that. Her Glastonbury set and Lizzo's Glastonbury set were like my favourite ones.
I didn't even watch them.
It was so good. It was amazing. Then number two is a silent disco. I love silent discos. I don't it's like the perfect combination of things.
I didn't really love them just because, like, in my first week of uni, I had like an impacted wisdom tooth, so I couldn't drink. And then I went to like the uni club where they were having a silent disco, and I took my headphones off, and everyone was singing two different songs really badly. And I was just like, that is the only thing.
If you're standing outside of where they're doing a silent disco, it just sounds like a load of people are being like tortured. Yeah, and then number three was self-love with Jonathan Van Ness in a tent. So I'm glad we both felt that was very important.
That was the first thing I put down. I really want to be in a room with Jonathan at one point in my life.
Yeah, I thought they needed some kind of therapy element, but it wasn't like too deep that everyone was just like having an existential crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Then number four, I've got a bisexual mingling area. This is a special rooftop area. No one will want to speak to each other, but that's what makes it so great. I don't really know anything about that bit, but I just felt like I had to put it down.
Okay, nice.
Then number five, I've got a board game tent that has a gay bookshop in it as well.
Oh my god, I need to add that the queer bookstore will have a pop-up.
Okay, yeah. But you haven't got board games because you're not that cool?
No.
I just feel like if you're getting a bit... it's too crowded, you just want to go sit down, play a board game. We've got Uno there, obviously. Then number six, I've got a turf pit. This is just a pit where turfs fall in. Like, we won't be physically harming them, but we're not helping them out of the pit.
Maybe you could just have, like, you know, like on rides where it's like, if you're this tall, you can't come in. It would just be
at the entrance. So you don't have to see them, but you just know that they're there, so they can't get in. Then number seven, I've got a petting zoo. Yeah, I really want a petting zoo.
Baby goats,
like a little farm area, and there's like hay bales and you can sit. And then I've got number eight, no police, but
oh my god,
there will be hot ambulance people, because you need ambulance people, and hot ambulance people, like, amazing.
Oh yes. Yep.
I feel like that's the best sight to see, because you're like, I feel safe, but also they're hot.
Honestly, we saw like this butch like paramedic at Temple Donuts once, and I was like, wow, if I was having an emergency and a butch lesbian came as the ambulance person, I'd be like, I am safe. Like, if a man was there, I'd be like, don't touch me, I don't trust you,
that's
bitch.
That's the only occasion I would want to be resuscitated. Then I've got karaoke, but that's kind of the same as the silent disco. I don't particularly love karaoke, but I feel like in that kind of setting, it would be good.
It would be fun. And you could have those special booths. I really want to do one of those.
Oh, and then the other thing is, I feel like I really like some of yours. We'd have to combine.
Mm.
But I don't really have any guests apart from Janelle Monáe and Jonathan Van Ness. But I do
Mine's
want...
big budget.
I do want the entire US women's football team to be there.
Maybe they can be like the bouncers.
Oh.
But they could also just be there to, like, keep the party going.
I would want them to just lift me on their shoulders every so often. Bounce me around. Yeah, no, I really wanted them there.
Okay,
yeah.
Nice.
I'm glad that we came up with something that we would all love. Okay, we're going to do a tarot reading. And we're going to do past, present, and future. And I really hope there's something good coming up for me.
I know, I'm praying. Mine's gonna be like, your life is falling apart, your body is
I should have brought Chani Nicholas's book up.
Well, you can mention it now.
Yeah, I would recommend getting Chani Nicholas's book, You Were Born for This.
I really want it. She's basically like the best queer astrologer of all time, and she also believes that it's not about predicting things, it's about like activating your potential and like working out what suits you based on your entire chart, not just like one sign.
Yeah, well, the main thing that she does is sun, moon, and rising, but she talks about like the aspects, which I didn't really know much about aspects before.
She just knows too much.
And also the ruler of your rising. So like my rising is Scorpio and it's ruled by Mars. Then you see what sign your Mars is in. And that is like the thing that like rules your destiny. I know.
What rules your destiny?
I can't remember. But my major thing is like, dictated by my family and
that's not good.
Well, I was like, it either means my family or like the family that I will have, so I feel like that is quite important to me. I don't think it necessarily just means like your family when you're a child. But yeah, it was very interesting. I might recommend it to the gay bookshop.
Smart.
Support your local bookshops, people.
Yeah, I'm really excited because the gay pop-up is getting an actual shop in town.
Oh, lovely. Oh, yeah, because...
I can't wait to go there and buy every fucking book.
I know, I need to stop buying
books. I'm literally, like, if they're about to close down, I'm just going to buy everything.
Yeah.
Like, we need to make it stay alive.
Cool. Right, let me select some cards. Let's do the reading. Okay, my first one is The Magician. I've never got that before. The Star. That's what Aquarius is, the star. And Queen of Cups. Finally, no fucking swords.
I think this will be a nice one.
Because I get swords every day. And in the Queering the Tarot book, it's just like trauma, trauma, trauma. And I'm like, cool beans.
It basically is like mentalhealthissues.com.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Whoa.
Okay, your past. What issues, feelings, or beliefs in the past events have shaped your current situation? Mm-hmm. The Magician. Willpower, desire, creation, and manifestation.
Mm.
The Magician is the representation of pure willpower. She takes all that is available to her and molds and transforms it to her desires. With her hand pointing to the ground and her wand pointing to the sky, she is manifesting the ancient phrase, as above, so below, meaning that earth reflects heaven, what is within is also without. The microcosm is the macrocosm.
Whoa.
Naturally, this phrase is the origin of what is commonly understood as magic.
Nice. Well, my whole dissertation is on magic and trauma.
Oh my god, wow.
Maybe beautiful. It's telling me to do that.
Okay, your present. What forces are at work right now? What events are influencing your situation? The Star. Hope, faith, rejuvenation.
Ooh.
After the collapse of the tower, the Star suggests the possibility of rebirth, rejuvenation, and overall hope. It is a phase in which one has trust and faith in yourself and in the universe around you.
Wow.
Wow, you're so powerful.
That's really good.
I'm so glad. I really hope the next one's good. Okay, future. What kind of outcomes could you expect? What is your reaction to this card and what are your expectations? Compassion, calm, and comfort.
Mm.
A thing in your life that is nurturing, compassionate, and able to instinctively understand the emotions of others. Because of this, they are generous and kind-hearted. Wow.
That's good. Wow, that really resonates.
You just got a new therapist who's nice. So
yes, and we're doing compassion-based therapy.
She'll be unlocking
that. That was my resolution for the year.
To get a therapist.
No, to be more compassionate to myself.
I love that. Yay. I haven't done like a tarot reading for ages. I've kind of been avoiding it.
I think it's a good time. The night
I'm actually just picking them completely at random. Normally I look at them and I sense
take your time,
the energy.
Take your time.
I feel like I just picked that one out of nowhere.
Have you bought any crystals recently?
No, because I started getting stressed out about whether they were like mined unethically, even though I really
them.
I know.
That's fair.
And I was like, I don't want to be one of those people that is like, has a spirituality that is only capitalism.
Yes, that is, if anyone is listening, white sage or whatever it is that people burn, it's really bad for the environment.
Is it sage? Okay, because also, which one is it?
They like, since it's become popular, now they're like stripping loads of fucking forest for it.
Yeah, there's another one that I got, Palo Santo. Basically, like, in, like, spiritual practices, they only use it if the tree is, like, over 100 years old, and that's the only way it has any meaning, and they keep, like, cutting down loads of trees, and they take years to grow back.
Basically, just be more conscious of these things.
Yeah, but I'm happy with, like, the crystals that I already have, and I, like, thought about what ones I wanted to put on my bedside table, and I changed them recently.
Yeah, that's what I do. I just
reorganize them. I put my, like, Labradorite one that's, like, the wand shape, because that one's for, like, new opportunities.
And, you like those ones.
Welcoming spontaneity and new things. And then I put the rose quartz one, because I need love.
Love. okay, let me just put this in. Knight of Cups. Knight of Wands and the Emperor.
I think I got a lot of power.
Whoa.
I really hope it's positive. I'm clinging on to humanity right now.
I can't. It's done it upside down. I don't know how to do it the other way around.
No. Which one has it done upside down?
The Knight of Cups.
I did pick that one upside down. I think it just knows.
Okay, well, at least
sometimes it does that. It refuses to let you put it in the right way up. It makes it reverse.
Oh my god. Okay, so your past is the Knight of Cups reversed, moodiness and disappointment. Being ruled by the heart and not the head, the Knight of Cups can sometimes be prone to quickly evolving and heated emotions. His invitation, though charming at first, can become problematic because of his inability to control his feelings.
Mm.
Uh-oh. But that's your past, we're fine. present. Okay. The Knight of Wands. Action, adventure, fearlessness.
Mm. Wow, what the fuck?
This person is a man of action. He represents the manifestation of an idea and the passionate pursuit of a vision. Are you pursuing a vision currently?
I'm trying to find a new job.
Nice. Because this person is highly focused on action, he can also be brash, impulsive, and unrealistic.
A dumb bitch.
I don't think you're brash. Future, the Emperor, authority, structure, control, fatherhood. Uh-oh. Have you fathered anyone's children recently?
No.
While the Empress represents the archetypal mother, the Emperor represents the father. He exudes authority, and though he is stern... Did anyone just hear my toe click? It was so loud. Although he is stern, he is also filled with wisdom and understands from his years. Understanding.
Okay, so am I gonna like become wise?
Structure, stability, and rule of thought over the heart. So basically,
so in the
your
past my
your
heart was ruling my head,
and now to in the future you need to go for the head.
I think I've actually done well to let my head rule over my heart and acknowledge what I'm feeling, but do the right and sensible thing.
But in the past, you wouldn't have done that.
Oh my god, in the past, I was crazy.
Exactly, that's good.
That's
okay, good.
True.
Okay,
we've
got good ones.
We've got some growth. I just feel like I'm crumbling.
Well, while Kit crumbles, remember to follow the podcast on Instagram and maybe do some tarot yourself, or maybe set some resolutions for what you want to do that are nice to yourself, instead of being like, this is what I want to achieve. That's not the vibe for 2020. Someone will listen to this and be like, JVN, we need a self-love conference, and you will be like the panel host.
Well, I was kind of inspired because I was listening to that, you know, that Fern Caution did that Happy Place festival.
I know she had the podcast, but I didn't know
she
did
the podcast called Happy Place, where she talks to people about mental health, and she did a festival that was like a mental health and wellness festival.
Oh, that's,
and
like
she had
the
like
polar
motivational
opposite
speakers.
Of Goop. That's the opposite of Goop.
Yeah. But I was just like, that's so wholesome. And like, if I had control over any events, I would want them to be like, I would want them to be wholesome.
We just
want to
be on the sofa.
Okay, so before the agendas, I have some gay news.
Wow.
Which is just the people who have come out publicly this week.
Oh, yay.
So you probably know them all. So as predicted by the bisexual agenda, Jacqueline Wilson is gay. Two people messaged me though to say that she like is against trans people. So
why are there so many TERFs who write great books?
Yeah. So Jacqueline Wilson, please improve on yourself and think about what you've done. But she's releasing...
You can start some kind of support group for J.K. Rowling and her.
Ugh. J.K. Rowling is too far gone. I feel like Jacqueline could still be saved.
True.
Rebecca Black, she came out as queer. I love that for her. And then the girl who is the voice of Moana came out as bi.
Oh my god, I love it.
Her name is Ali Carvalho. I had to Google it. But yeah, she is really beautiful. She basically just looks like Moana, but tall.
She does look like a Disney-fied version of Moana.
Yeah. I saw an interview of her on The Rock, and she had, like, a beautiful flower in her hair, and I was just
I've seen pictures of that. I'm like, oh, I want to move to Hawaii and marry her.
So that's the gay news. Do you want to start with your agenda?
Just jotted down some ideas in the last 4 seconds before I called you.
No.
Or you called me. All of mine are themed for the lockdown, because I don't want to recommend or advocate for things that you can't do at the moment.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The first thing is to take up a gay hobby, take up a new hobby. I have been taking on many hobbies. I've recently started doing embroidery.
Beautiful.
And I love it. It's so relaxing. This is quite as... I don't think it's a gay hobby, but I love doing my Rubik's Cube. And at the moment, my fastest time is 4 minutes 38 seconds.
That's pretty good.
So, I was aiming to get it to 4 minutes, so now I'm like, I'm doing good. Because the first time I did it, it took me like an hour.
I don't think I've ever solved one.
What else have I been doing? I also bought a jigsaw, but it hasn't arrived yet. And
Genuinely, when I said I was ordering this, Dad like got really concerned about my mental health. He was like, I'm really worried about this. Like, I'm worried that this is going to like really mess you up. And I was like, why are you so stressed about a puzzle? But the puzzle is just white pieces.
I've seen
it. It's mini and it's got 1,000 pieces and they're all weird shapes and the whole thing is white.
Yeah, that but is quite concerning. But I want concerning.
It. It's called pure hell. It's called pure white hell.
Okay, I understand my dad was concerned.
But I just love those kind of things where you're like doing the same monotonous task. Like, I find that really calming. But I can do 1,000-piece Waz jig in like a day. And I want it to take me like 2 weeks.
Okay, so, fair yeah. enough.
But when I was trying to find one, I found my twin, my soulmate, because some random woman, like a week ago, wrote an article on Vogue about how she wants to do this white puzzle in the lockdown.
Wow, and has she done it?
She said she's like about to finish the outside pieces.
I'm proud.
Which is the first bit you do. And I was like, finally, someone understands why I want this item. I want to be challenged to my very limits.
I would not enjoy that. I guess it would be satisfying when you finish it, but like the whole time I'd just be like, this is just boring.
Yeah. Well, you're a Sagittarius, so that
I'm
makes
I'm very
sense.
Impatient.
Yeah, I love like a long haul, slow burn activity. So that's my first one, and that kind of leads into my second one. Which is to do baking.
Nice.
I've done a lot of baking. I made a coffee cake and a lemon drizzle cake and a chocolate cake yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Not all in one day. On the baking theme, you should definitely watch Bake Off, the Celebrity Bake Off.
I haven't been loving it, not gonna lie.
Well, I know it's not perfect, but you need to get the last bits of Bake Off before it becomes straight forever.
That's true.
It's just going to be lost to the streets.
It's bullshit.
And Ovi was on it, and Tan.
I don't think I've seen the Ovi one. I think basically I saw the preview.
Which ones have you seen?
I've seen 1, 3, and 4.
Ovi is in the first one.
Okay, I just completely wiped that from my memory. I think the thing is, he had like 4 speaking opportunities. I feel like they didn't...
Kit?
Yes, that is Kit.
I'm I like still... your glasses, Kit.
Okay, can you go now? Because I'm trying to talk to her.
Great.
I knew he was going to do that. I could hear him, like, thumping along.
What was I saying? I thought that Ovi didn't speak that much. I did love his presence there, though. He did quite a good one, didn't I? I like the one of him on the beach. On the cake.
Have you seen the one with Tan?
Yeah.
Because they had to make a cake version of their worst fear. Which just
that
seems
was a really
like
weird thing to do. I know. I was like, why did they come up with this challenge?
Also, it just made me start thinking what my cake would
my
be.
My cake would be
horrendous.
Fucking horrific. I know, it's like they all had to think of a fake biggest fear that was appropriate for like cooking and TV.
And a charity thing. You can't be like, oh, my greatest fear is dying of cancer and I'm on a show about cancer.
Yeah, I just think it's not joyful enough, and I wish they got celebrities who actually were good at cooking.
Yeah, I actually like it when they
I like
fail.
That they have some... Also, did you watch the one with James Blunt? Because his energy was really disturbing to me.
He is, like, the most... He has, like, the most repulsive energy.
Also, I didn't think his speaking voice sounded like that, and then I was really disturbed as well.
Yeah,
I was like...
If you've never listened to James Blunt's speaking voice, you need to, because you
will
be deeply disturbed.
He sounds like a mountain goat that, like, works as a stockbroker or something. He's like...
Yeah, he sounds like some kind of pet that's owned by a family who, like, they all go to Eton, and then the pet has got a voice.
Yeah, I just found him really creepy. And I didn't like the fact that he basically was like, yeah, my wife came up with all of these and cooked them, and then I've just copied what she did.
I know. Oh, God, that was horrendous. And he was like, she cleaned up afterwards. I was like, are you a fucking...
Divorce him. I'm going to find her and message her privately, being like...
Genuinely, like, breaking up bad relationships should be a job.
Maybe that's a marriage counsellor.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, because they're trying to get them back together most of the time.
He could be, like, an anti-marriage counsellor.
So number three on my list is to watch some gay shows. I recommend Feel Good. I don't know what episode you're on now. You finished it
the other day. We went through it really quickly, actually. Because
did
been,
you
like, 20 minutes
cry long. At the end?
I didn't cry at the end.
Oh my god, I was a mess. I had to have a shower, and I was like, this could be a movie. I'm like sobbing in the shower.
Why did it make you cry?
I don't know.
I felt bad for her when she was like crying on the phone to her mum.
Yeah, no, that bit made me cry loads. Just the whole bit after she's been on like the big bender. That whole bit was really sad.
Do you want to explain what the show is in any way?
No. Okay, so Feel Good is, it's a British show, I think.
It was filmed
main
in Manchester.
Character is Canadian, and she's a comedian called Mae Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And you will fall in love with her. Did you fall in love with her?
I did, but also, basically, Maura texted me before being like, I just started watching Feel Good. I thought it was going to be this indie, wholesome lesbian thing, but I hate it.
It is!
She was like, I hate it. Both the characters are horrible. Like, one of them's a narcissist, the other one's like emotionally unavailable. But I think that we are both triggered because Mae Martin is a Taurus. And I think that me and Maura both share narcissistic Taurus exes. And their relationship is fucked. Like, their relationship is, like, really codependent.
Yeah, I don't want them to be together.
Yeah, so it really stressed her out. And I kind of understand why, because it is kind of, like, a bit frantic at some points, the show.
Yeah.
But I did like it.
It's definitely not, like, a wholesome energy that I think people thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I was happy that it was promoted quite a lot because, like, obviously a lot of the times queer or gay shows on, like, mainstream channels don't get promoted at all, but this one they, like, put everywhere. So, and I did find the gay jokes funny and, like, relatable, and it didn't seem out of date. You know, sometimes there's new gay shows, but they already seem out of date. Like,
yeah.
If there's, like, a gay character in a TV show, all their references are, like, from 10 years ago. They're like, I love Kylie Minogue! You're like, okay. So I found the gay jokes funny, and I quite liked the, like, family dynamics. Although, I feel like, I know this is realistic, but there are never any nice mum characters on TV shows. Like, ever has, like, a supportive mum on a TV show. Like, their mum is always some, like, ice cold, like... unhinged person.
I'm trying to think of a show where the mum is really supportive.
Like, there just aren't good representations
of
mums.
Oh, it's true. The mum in Shrill is really bad, too.
I know. I really like Shrill, actually. I was going to mention Shrill on my TV episode with Pip, but we never got round to it. But I'm so excited that they're having a third season, and I love it.
Same.
I'll add that in as a TV show to watch.
Yeah, so Feel Good is about a, like, young couple who meet in the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
Mae is a, like, comedian who's trying to get started, mm-hmm. and George, her name in real life is Charlotte.
Okay.
George is a teacher.
Yeah, but she has a fucking mansion for some reason.
Oh, yeah, no, none of that. She's definitely from a rich family because all her friends are like...
Her house is so nice.
Rich.
Like, their open plan kitchen is hashtag goals.
Yeah, they're both messy characters. And I think you don't... Obviously, we don't want queer characters, like, always being in dysfunctional relationships. But I think it's important for them to, like, be realistic and be, like, messy and make mistakes in the relationship.
Yeah, also, like, basically every TV show about a couple is about a dysfunctional relationship because otherwise
it wouldn't be interesting. It would just be them getting on.
I did feel like it was kind of, like, one of my favourite shows is Love, and I felt like it was kind of, like, their relationship in Love. Because obviously Mickey in Love is, like, a recovering, like, love and sex addict and, like, drug addict and alcoholic, and I think it... To be honest, I have seen quite a lot of stuff saying that Feel Good was a really bad representation of, like, what happens if you enter, like, a 10 or 12-step program. So, I don't know. I don't know how that happened, because obviously Mae Martin used to be, like, an addict and probably has been in those programs, so I don't know how they've, like, represented it badly.
Yeah, I definitely think there was, like, flaws to the show, and it could have been better.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think it was an interesting watch, and it's really short. I think it's one of those things where you get to the end and you're like, I actually have, like, a lot of ideas about this.
Yeah,
and like, that's not always bad to get to the end of something and think, true. Wow, that could have been way better if they'd just done that.
Yeah, also I want them to have a second season because I think they could do a lot of cool stuff in the second season, whether or not they stay together, but I think it would be good if they did break up.
They should break up, 100%. And then the other two shows I've been watching is, I obviously watched Work in Progress. It's on Sky and it's great. They recommended it on one of our favourite podcasts, Food for Thought. And it's basically, it starts out with this queer woman, like in her 40s, I think. Yeah, she's 45. And she's in a therapy session with her therapist. And she basically says, in 180 days, if I don't feel any better, I'm just going to kill myself. Mm-hmm. I've decided, like, I'm not happy. And if I can't be happy, then I don't know why I should continue.
Mm-hmm.
And then she realizes that the whole time her therapist has been dead. Her therapist dies in the session and it's hilarious. She's just staring there like with her eyes wide open, smiling. And then she's like, oh God, my therapist is dead. So that's basically how it starts. And then it's just her like going through the 180 days basically. It has like her lesbian best friend and her sister, who's, like, the most straight person ever.
Nice.
And her husband. And then she meets this guy when her and her sister are out for lunch, like, directly after the therapist's death. And the main character is like, oh, my God, they're really beautiful. And then the sister goes up and gives them the main character's number, and that's how it all starts.
Okay, I'm excited. Me and Lizzie are gonna start watching it.
A great love affair, more people being messy.
I mean, we're all messes. I feel like everyone's so critical of like TV and it's like we're all trash. I do we get it though, because like I think the problem with like abusive or codependent relationships in TV is if people who don't have an awareness of how those relationships work watch it, they might like romanticize it or get the wrong end of the stick. Yes. Or be like, this is so romantic, and it's like, it's not.
Yeah, I think the good thing about Work in Progress compared to Feel Good is they like emphasize a lot more like queer relationships that aren't romantic, because in Feel Good there was really
no queer friendship.
There was no queer friendship, and it was just like, that's kind of unrealistic. Like the good thing about Work in Progress is the guy that she meets is like 20 years younger than her.
Mm-hmm.
And then they basically, she gets like reintroduced to the like new queer scene basically.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff about basically like she presents like quite masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really good episode about like using public restrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's also got OCD, so she's like, that is like my battleground.
Yeah.
People also, literally in the show like tell her, like go and report to the police, there's a man in the bathroom, and then she has to be like, yeah, I'm the person, I'm not a man, I'm a woman.
I hate it. Well, I think that's important as well, because I think like most of the queer media right now like is about like femme women.
Yeah, it was definitely a good, because the guy that she's seeing is trans.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good representation of like queer couples that you don't usually see. And there's this hilarious scene where the husband of her sister, who's like the biggest idiot, is like, can I ask you something about this new guy that you're seeing? And he basically, you can tell he wants to be like, oh, I thought you were a lesbian, why are you dating a guy?
Oh yeah.
And then she basically is like, can I just remind you that the queer community does not owe you any explanations and you should just Google it? And then she's like, do you still have a question? He's like, no. But yeah, it's really funny, but also like moving, because it kind of goes through her first relationship as well. So you get flashbacks of her first relationship.
Oh, no.
And like why it messed up. It's such a funny show for something where the premise is someone's going to commit suicide.
I think that's good though, because I think a lot of people who have mental illnesses, basically their main coping mechanism is humor. So
exactly. Also, queer people, we love being funny and talking about how depressed we are in a funny way.
That's exactly. Perfect. And then,
sorry, I have another thing. Sorry.
Okay, it's the Emily show.
It's just the Emily continue. Show. It's because I've been watching so many great shows that I just feel like everyone needs to know about. Because okay. Why did it take me this long to get round to them when I'm someone who watches basically
you do
everything.
Watch everything.
But I just finished the first season of Steven Universe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely like a really wholesome recommendation. If you're feeling really low and you just like don't have any attention span, like you're really fatigued, because sometimes you just feel like that, especially when you're like locked indoors. Steven Universe is the thing that you need. The episode's only like 11 minutes long. So you can just like eat your toast and watch an episode. It's a cartoon and it's about this boy called Steven and his basically caregivers who are three crystal gem human beings.
You should listen. There's this episode called The Sex Ed, which I really like, but I never quite understand because they never talk about sex education on it. I don't know if
Wait,
it's
is
like,
a podcast or an episode?
It's
you
a podcast.
Episode.
It's an episode of a podcast called The Sex Ed.
Oh, okay.
But they have an episode with the animator from Steven Universe.
Sick.
They're called Rebecca Sugar. And
yeah,
I think
she's the person who created it.
Yeah, I think they're non-binary and they're bi.
What?
But they...
Yeah, the show is really queer.
Yeah, they talk a lot of stuff about, like, how they managed to make, like, a queer kids show and, like, how they had to do different things to make it allowed on different networks. And it's, like, banned in certain countries or certain countries, like, edit the show.
Yeah.
But it was a really good episode. It made me really emotional. I had this really cute bit about how when they were at, like, a Comic-Con kind of thing, and this, like, dad came up to them and was like, oh, your show's really helped me and my daughter connect. Like, my daughter's gay and I really want to support her. And Rebecca Sugar, like, replied being like, oh, I'm so happy that you're a supportive dad. Like, my parents always just said, we love you no matter what. We don't care that you're gay. And she said that the dad basically, his face, like, dropped and he was like, well, that's what I've been, like, saying to her. But I thought that was, like, a good thing to say. And then they're like, oh yeah, like that just makes us feel like we can't talk about our sexuality or we can't share things. And they ended up having like a really good conversation. And then they like overheard the dad saying to the daughter, like, so do you have any crushes you want to talk to me about? And I was just like, I'm crying.
Oh my God, I love that. That's so true though. When people like, I'll love you no matter what, it's basically being like,
it's
I can get over the fact that you're gay. Like,
yeah, it's being
you
like,
should want,
oh yeah.
You should be excited. You should be like, wow, that's so great that you know this about yourself.
Yep, I really like that episode. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, it's a really queer show and it's like an adventure and there's a good balance of like kind of light moments and then some like deeper stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the end of this first season, like loads of stuff happened. And you just find out some stuff that I don't want to give away. You gotta watch it. But it's great and I just can't wait to see even more of like the new characters that they're gonna bring in. Because they spend quite a lot of time at the start just like kind of setting everything up. But now they've got like new crystal gems coming. And I just love it. It's so wholesome. And I think it's such a good way to like support a queer show. Sometimes queer shows can feel like really heavy and you're just like, I know this is important, but I just want something light that I can laugh at and then it's 10 minutes and I'm done. So I think it's great if you want to like watch a queer show that's a bit different. And I feel like at the start you're like, wait, am I meant to be watching this because it is for kids? But then 10 minutes later you're like, oh my God, I love everyone in this show. Unfortunately, it's on Netflix, but they've only got season 1, 4, and 5, which is done.
That's weird.
And I was trying to... I went online to try and figure out why, and I think it's to do with the whole, like, what's allowed on different networks. Because they... some random person was like, they haven't put season 2 or 3 on because there's, like, gay relationships that they don't think is okay for kids. And there's, like, kissing and they need to edit it out. And I was like, no, give me the kissing. I want the kissing. So now I'm going to illegally stream it, which I didn't have to do that, but I can't miss out. I don't want Netflix to cut out all the good queer stuff and then give me some kind of like censored shit.
That's bleak. That's sad. Okay, so first on my bisexual agenda basically leads on from your last bisexual agenda,
which
is I think everyone should watch Next in Fashion.
Oh no! Sorry.
What do you think?
I watched like the first 10 minutes and I didn't like it.
Okay, well, I think you should power through. Why did you not like it?
I think I'm just not in the mood for that, like a competition show.
Okay. In my eyes, it is basically the good elements of Drag Race and the good elements of, Project Runway.
Oh, I do love Project Runway. That's why I wanted to watch it. And then I was I wasn't in the mood.
I think, basically, the first two episodes you might not love because there's so many contestants, it's hard to, like, pick your favourite and understand what everyone's style is. Because, basically, the way they do it is they pair up designers. So it's, like, a competition, but for like the majority of the show they're working in pairs, so they have to design.
Yeah, I did find that confusing. Do the pairs like know each other or not?
Some of the pairs know each other and some of them don't. So some of them are people who like went to the same university or like design school or whatever, but some of them are just paired randomly, and those pairs don't always do as well, but some of them do really well. So I think you do kind of feel like, oh, this is kind of unfair, because there's like two pairs that are just matched quite badly and don't get along, and they go out quite early on. It's kind of a weird way that they did it like that, but it's also good because obviously if you're going to be like a fashion designer, you need to be able to like convey your ideas to other people, and you need to be able to work in a team. And a lot of it is about whether they can like merge their ideas or whether they can like let someone lead if they've got the better idea. Yeah, which I think does make sense. And also because sometimes...
I'm talking to Kit.
Hello, Kit. She's got to vacate my yoga studio now for my third hour lesson of the day.
I'm moving to my third room.
Okay, so what was I saying? Basically, it's good that they're in pairs because some of them are women's wear designers and some of them are men's wear designers. And for the challenges, sometimes they only have to do one outfit. So obviously it would be unfair if like you had to do a women's wear outfit and you'd never done it. So the pairs work well in that way. Alexa Chung and Tam France are the hosts. I don't warm to Alexa, let's say it like that.
I just don't vibe with her.
It annoys me that everyone kind of sees her as like the kooky fashion girl who isn't like everyone else. I'm like, she literally has no personality. So she luckily is basically hardly in it. And they're literally in it for like 2 minutes of the show. And there's some really cool like queer people on the show. And there's loads of like really cool designers. And it is so sweet. I just find it so wholesome. There's some really cool people on the show, and they make some really cool outfits.
That's cool. The catwalk bit of Drag Race is my favourite.
Yeah, me too. And also, it's not a competition show where everyone is, like, catty and bitchy to each other. They don't have any, like, horrible behind-the-scenes bits where they're all arguing. Like, everyone gets on really well. And it is interesting because for most of the show, they're, like, collaborating in their pairs. But then when they all split up, they have to, like, compete against people that they used to be in a pair with. But they're still really nice to each other. So I find it really cute. And basically, everyone on it is gay. There's loads of, like, iconic gay looks that they make. We love it. I think it's good. I feel like people should watch it. If you like fashion or any kind of competition show or anything gay, also you could just watch it all in like 2 days, especially in the current climate.
I love how people just start emails now by saying, due to the unprecedented circumstances. It's like, ugh.
If I hear anyone say unprecedented again, I'm going to scream. I hate the word unprecedented. Also, no one just says one word, they always say two. They're always like, hope you're doing well in these strange and unsettling times. It always annoys me. It's like, just stick with one.
I'm
like, one.
Well, I'm not okay. Just once I want to reply back to someone being like, I'm not saying that, I'm not saying.
Okay, so number two, I'm just gonna keep it short and sweet. It's end capitalism.
Oh, wow.
Rude.
Do you think this is an achievable agenda in the current climate?
It's a goal. It's an aspirational agenda. It doesn't have to be something that we all attempt to do in the next few days. It's just something that I feel should be within our hearts as a feeling and a driving force. Also, do not listen to anyone on Instagram or the internet or in your house who acts as if this is the perfect time to become a better and more productive, like, neoliberal, like, boss lady. Like, I hate it. I hate it so much. I got an email being like, do you want to come to this women's seminar about how to make the most of a crisis? I was like, no, because you can't make the most of a crisis. Because
it is a crisis for a reason.
And yes, you have a lot of time, but also a lot of that. Basically, any normies out there that don't have mental health conditions, the feelings you're feeling right now are what people with depression and anxiety feel every single day. And this is why we cannot be super productive. And we do not have motivation. And even if you do nothing and you feel tired and you don't learn the language and you don't find a career path, that is because this is not the time to be like regenerating your life. Literally surviving.
Agreed.
Is the main goal. And also, like, if you're working from home, try to like scam as much time as you can. Like, it's so hard to work from home. We don't have the proper equipment. Most places didn't actually prepare their employees to be working from home. It's impossible. Take breaks that are actually breaks. Like, it's BS. I hate it with my whole heart. It really upsets me. And also, stop buying stuff online. Don't buy stuff from Amazon at any time of the year, and especially not now. They treat their employees very, very, very badly. And it seems like it's an automatic process because you click on something and it arrives at your house the next day. But there's several people that have to go to work in a horrible factory and have no toilet breaks because you wanted to order like one tiny thing that comes in a massive box and is also killing the environment.
Jeff Bezos. Eat Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, also, like, all the celebrities can be quiet. Like, and don't be like, wow, this celebrity is changing lives by donating this much money. It's probably, like, 0.1% of their net worth.
Yeah, also, they probably don't pay tax, so they're just making retribution for that.
Exactly. And also, like, consider how you think of people who are currently essential workers and how you've considered them in the past. And also, if you're a CEO or a landlord, maybe reflect on your decisions as a person.
I agree. I agree with your agenda there. It's kind of crazy how much people have internalized capitalism, that they're like, guys, this is the best time to be productive. This is the time to, like, do your PT sessions at home, you know? It's like, no, just try and get through every day. Like, that's the goal. If you do nothing but get through the day, you still got through the day, so you've done something.
Yeah, and also, like, I guess a lot of, like, everyone is different, and some people, like, love doing loads of stuff all day, every day, and they do have loads of free time on their hands now, and they're like, oh, I'm gonna start doing loads of exercise. Like, obviously, there's, like, different things that make people happy, but if you're someone that, like, you don't have to change your entire lifestyle now just because you have more time. Like, just do what you normally do. And then I can't, my third point, oh yes, if you do want something to do and you do want a new hobby and you do want to exercise, I love yoga with Adrienne. And I know Emily doesn't like yoga, but basically I love her. She's like the perfect Libra best friend you never had. I literally love her. And her yoga videos are really easy. She like includes loads of adjustments that you can do if you have like certain parts of your body that ache or whatever, or if you can't, if she's always like, if you can't do it with your leg straight, bend your knee. If you can't do it like this, put your knee on the floor. And it makes it way easier to actually follow the video. She doesn't go too quickly. There's loads of different ones you can do. She has multiple like 30-day yoga challenges, and that's good if you have already done yoga before and you want to like build up to being able to do harder moves. But if you haven't done yoga before, she has really short videos for beginners, and she also has like meditations and stuff on there if you want to just start with something that is easy. But a lot of us are like working from home and sitting in uncomfortable chairs, and if you just do like half an hour of yoga like a couple of days a week, it does actually help. And I think what's good about her videos is they're not like goal focused, and they're not like,
yeah,
this is specifically for this, and a lot of them are quite short. Most of them are under half an hour. And she never, a couple of times she says stuff about like, oh, this is good to like help tone and stuff, but it's definitely not focused on losing weight or anything.
Yeah.
And she's really calming. I find her really calming. Some people don't like her, which I will never understand, but
I've seen you doing her videos, and I think she's a really good person to like listen to.
She has a calming energy, and I think she's a good teacher, and she has a really cute dog.
Yeah, her dog is cute.
He's called Benji.
And Mom, who's training to be a yoga teacher, says that her videos are the best at explaining the moves.
She's very chill.
Yeah, I think if you haven't done yoga, it's a really good time. Like, even if we weren't in lockdown, like, those videos are really good because you kind of can have a go without being in a class and being like, oh god, everyone else can do the moves. It's going way too fast. Like,
if you do want to try this, you can just message me and tell me what kind of one you want, and I can find one of hers that I think is good and that will fit you, and I can, like, send it to you. My main problem is my back is made of, like, a shovel. Like, crunching horrible hard.
A rusty shovel.
So I always do the ones for, like, the shoulders and the spine. Right now I'm doing the Yoga Revolution 30 days. I think it's actually 31 days, but I don't actually do it every day. I do it, like, every other day, and in between I just pick a random one to do. And when I started doing it, it was, like, in my second year of uni, I tried to do a 30-day challenge, and it literally took me a year to finish. Because the second video was like 40 minutes long, so I do the first video, and then the second one I'd be like, this is so hard. But now I actually can do it in like 2 months. And this January, like, one of my New Year's resolutions was to, like, start one of the 30-day things, because I got into the habit of just picking, like, one of three videos that I was doing all the time, and I realized it wasn't actually helping me, because I had got so used to the movements that, like, it wasn't actually stretching me that much, because I was always going to the same point, like, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I also feel like yoga is one of the few exercises where it doesn't, like, focus on your body and make you feel bad about your body. If you, like, if exercise kind of, like, triggers that for you, or, like, starting new exercise. Because it's kind of just about, like, your, like, being able to move a bit better.
Yeah, and it's also a lot about, like, the breathing. And I do find it very calming. And, like, I'm not one of those people that's like, yoga will cure your anxiety or your depression. But personally, I find it to be one of the things that can slow down my mind if I'm having one of those racing thought times. But it's also just a nice, you know, when you're like in that weird mood where you're just like scrolling on your phone and you're like, this is not actually fun. I just don't know what to do right now.
Yeah.
Or if you're like, I'm going to go have a depression nap. Whenever I'm at that point, I'm like, okay, instead of just doing nothing, I'm just going to do one yoga video. And it goes so quickly. And then you're like, oh, great. Now I'm like ready to start the day.
Yeah. Whereas for me, like, it doesn't do that for me, which is why I just never got into it. Because it does the opposite. I'm like too alone with my thoughts. And then I just get more. Because I need more stimulation, which is why for me, like, doing a workout with weights and stuff, you can't like have thoughts because you're literally like, oh, I'm dying. Struggling.
Yeah, I think like if you're someone that doesn't like, basically you don't need any skill, you don't need any equipment. And with her videos, I think it's really difficult to actually injure yourself or do anything wrong because she does it really slowly. She always builds in a warm up because a lot of other yoga videos I see, there's no warm up.
They just start with a downward dog and it's die.
Like, even if yoga isn't like a hard sport or whatever, but you can like fuck it up if you do it badly.
Yeah, if you're not like warmed up, then obviously your muscles are gonna be not ready to stretch.
Yeah, I just think she's an angel. I just find her so sweet, and she always makes really weird jokes, and I just love it. She just has a really strange but really sweet
does
personality.
Does she have like a stretch and relax one?
She has so many. She has so many. And also,
because I enjoy, if you're not into yoga or like you think you won't be able to do it, then just start with some like stretching and breathing, because anyone can do that and it's nice.
Yeah, basically on her yoga challenges that are 30 days, day 8 is always like a resting one. She calls it like day 8 don't hate meditate or something. So if you want to start with a really chill one that doesn't actually include that much movement.
Oh my also, god, look at you being like, oh, yoga meditation.
Sometimes though, if you aren't sure if you'll like one or not, on YouTube, if you just like scroll the bar at the bottom, it like fast forwards through the video and you can see the moves and you can see if it's one that you could do or not.
Yeah, I feel like we have a balanced view because I just don't like yoga. It's not me. Not for me.
Yeah, Emily's up in the gym working on her fitness.
I'm up in the gym. I'm blasting Stormzy. Oh my god.
And I'm like just in my pajamas lying like, on the floor.
Ascending onto another plane.
Yeah, it is really calming. Also, sometimes it makes you cry. It's really weird.
Yeah, Mum always says that she starts crying in yoga, and I'm like, ugh.
I've had it happen like
I've cried in the gym once, actually. I was just doing something, and I started crying, and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, also reading the... If you don't want to do the yoga videos, but you do want some wholesome content, I recommend going on her YouTube videos and just reading all the comments, because they're so sweet. I read one the other day that was like... As a guy, I never really knew that I had hips, but now I do. He was like, why are the hips so emotional? I always find these hip openers release a lot of emotion. Thank you, Adrian.
Wow.
Like, that was really, they're really wholesome comments. It's always like, this morning I woke up and I really didn't want to do this, but now I did and I love it. Thank you, Adrian. And she like heart reacts all the comments.
Oh, I love it.
So yeah. If you want to do some exercise right now that is easy and doesn't require you leaving the house or having any kind of, like, spandex. Also, you don't need a yoga mat. You can do it on, like, carpet or a wooden floor, or you can do it on a towel.
On a towel, yeah.
We love to be zen.
We do. You can achieve zen. Just because your brain is got no serotonin doesn't mean that you can't achieve the zen. You've just got to find what actually makes you feel that way.
Exactly. I really love swimming. I kind of wish I could do that, but that's like my ideal exercise. But it's also one that is like has the most barriers for me because I'm like, I don't want to travel anywhere. I don't want to go anywhere with wet hair and I don't want anyone
I don't
to
like
see me.
Any swimming costumes. Like, someone needs to make swimming costumes that are nice.
Yeah. If anyone out there is a budding fashion designer, please watch Next in Fashion and then become like a swimwear designer.
Like, I want my butt to look good. But I also don't want the front to be like showing my whole vagina.
Yeah.
Please.
Is that too much to ask?
I can't get a wax, so the front needs to come down to like halfway down my thighs, and the butt needs to be like a thong. Cycling shorts with the butt cut out.
You need like chaps, but for the swimming pool.
Swimming chaps. Wow, maybe we should make those. I think Rihanna could make those in her Savage X line.
Yeah, they could be like neoprene or whatever it's called. Oh, I finally watched Hustlers. Have you seen it?
No, I really want to see
it. Basically, this is completely unrelated, but in it, J-Lo has like a denim swimming line.
Oh my god, I didn't know that.
And she's like, people think that denim would be uncomfortable to swim in, but it actually gets so comfortable once it's wet.
Yeah, if you want to be, if you want to watch an aspirational video, then you should watch, there's like a mini series on YouTube of behind the scenes of Hustlers, and it shows J-Lo learning how to do pole dancing from like her first lesson.
Yeah, I was actually really
shocked. And it is so sick.
She only has like one scene where she actually dances. Like, it is like a full dance that she does for like 4 minutes, but I just feel like, oh my god, they got her, like she learned all that stuff.
Yeah,
and then
she spent
only did
like
one
months
thing.
Learning. Like 2 weeks before they started doing the social distancing, I found a pole studio in Nottingham that I was going to go and do a class.
Wow. Maybe so in the future you can still do it.
Yeah, well, I've always wanted to go because I feel like that's the kind of thing I would find fun.
Yes. Also, if you are someone who goes to pole classes, you can't be anti-sex work.
Oh, yeah, that's
just
bullshit.
A PSA. Yeah. And basically my life goal is for J-Lo to like hug me within her fur coat.
It really reminds me of in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, where the Ice Queen or whatever has her, like, big...
I know, I love that film. I really want to rewatch that. I feel like... I don't really remember it, but I remember we used to have the audiobook of that story in the car, and that story is, like, wild.
Yeah, well, the guy who wrote all of those books was, like, really, really, really Christian, and Aslan is meant to be God.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I read his Wikipedia the other day, because I was, like, trying to understand how he came up with such a wild story, but... It is very interesting, and it's, like, got all the classics. It's got, like, cool, badass, weird, evil ladies, and, like, an evil brother who betrays his family for some Turkish delight. Like, what more can you ask for?
Very relatable. If you betrayed me for some food, I would not come after you. I'd be like, cool. She's living her best life. What could
so
she
I was
do?
Like, do you want to go to Wagamama's? Side note, Emily will die.
It would be like, she did what she had to do to get those cues.